Help is not going to come from anywhere else. And so we turn our eyes to you. We proclaim the testimony that out of the ashes we will arise, because death is defeated and our King is alive, our King Jesus Christ. And we've seen it in this community before where we were down, but over time, Lord, you brought us to life again. And I know that that will be our testimony again. Right now, we are watching, we are waiting, and we turn our eyes to you because we believe that you are not finished yet. And you've gathered your people this morning, and we are not limited by physical space, and we are gathered with people locally and all over the state and over the country, all over the world, really. We thank you for the beautiful body of Christ and for the reminder that it is your Spirit that unites us. And so unite us, Lord. Remind us. Encourage us. Show us that your Spirit is what unites us together during this time. So thank you. Speak to us. Reveal yourself to us. May your will be done. We love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Good morning, church. And good morning, everybody in Aransas County and beyond. We're so blessed that you've chosen to spend a little bit of your Sunday morning with us. Thank you for joining us in this way. We miss you. This place is not the same. There's this incredible echo in this room that just magnifies your absence. And we're looking forward to the day when you're able to gather with us again and we can worship together in person. Until then, we're thankful to have this format to worship as well. I really think that Lent this year has been hijacked, and where we all thought we were giving up chocolate for Lent, it turns out what we're really giving up is being around one another. And the Lord had something else in mind. Instead of focusing on Lent, I've kind of focused on Advent, where it seems like we are waiting for the Lord to keep His promises, to finish what He started, to reveal Himself to us. We're in this time of waiting. The dawn is coming, but right now it seems like we're real dark. And so that's kind of been the focus of what I've been looking at on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings. And this morning I'm going to be reading in just a few minutes from Luke chapter 1. Before I read that, I wanted to share something with you. A few years ago, I went skiing again, snow skiing in New Mexico for the first time in years. When I was a teenager, we used to go quite a bit. I hadn't gone for a while, and then in my early 40s, I went again for the first time. Now, when I was young, I would ski all of the blue and sometimes the black slopes. I wasn't a great skier, but I was okay, and I really enjoyed it. In my early 40s, when I went, I found myself on the mountain at a trail that went in three different paths. There was a blue path, and the trail was called Whoop-de-doo. And there was a black slope, and it was called Boulder Dash. And then there was a green slope called Easy Street. And I had a choice to make. Which one was I going to go down? Which one do you think I went down? That's right. I went down Easy Street. I took the green slope, the easy path, and before you judge me, just remember that as a 40-year-old man, I was thinking I had a lot to lose if I ended up in the hospital and trying to explain to some doctor why I thought I could ski Boulder Dash. Instead, I took Easy Street. Anxiety is a sense of threat. That threat can either be real or imagined. In my mind, I imagined all of the worst things that could happen to me if I did not take Easy Street. And it was pretty bad. I have a good imagination. Whether it's real or imagined, my fight or flight instincts kick in and I react accordingly. And I wonder this morning, what are those things that are bringing your anxieties to the surface right now? There's all kinds of things. You could be afraid of getting sick. You could be afraid that your loved ones are going to get sick, especially those who are vulnerable at this time and really need to stay protected. Maybe you're afraid of loss of work and how you're going to pay your bills. Maybe you're afraid of the larger economic implications of this downtime, if there's going to be a recession or a depression, and will our country ever recover, and how will the world ever recover from those things. And these anxieties work within us. But I want to be honest with you, God is not worried about any of those things. I am, but God is not. And I need to shift my perspective so that I'm able to see things from God's perspective and trust His perspective, because my own perspective may not be real or accurate. I want to have God's view of reality. The Bible tells us that God separated the light from the darkness. He brought order to the chaos. He's promised to do it again in our lives. Jesus Christ is that light. And Jesus comes to us. He dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. He shines light in the darkness. But I wonder, is it possible that when God does actually shine light into our lives and into our community, is it possible that we won't recognize it? Or that maybe God's presence and activity might actually be a source of anxiety or fear for us rather than an encouragement? Is it possible that I might perceive God's presence and activity as a threat rather than as a comfort? When God sent the light of His Son, Jesus, into the world, four different times in the Gospels, God had to tell people involved not to be afraid. And I think that He wants us to know that He is present. He is accomplishing His purposes in the world. It's not going to look like what we think, and we don't have to be afraid. Look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I'll start reading in verse 26. Once I put my old man glasses on. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Here are two things to understand about how God comes to us in Jesus Christ. Two ways for us to be paying attention to what God may be doing in our lives right now. Number one, God's presence and activity will require me to believe the unbelievable. God's presence and activity will require me to believe the unbelievable. God, who is perfect, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, He is at work in our lives right now. He is present. He is accomplishing His purposes in our community and all over the world right now. However, His presence and His activity is not always going to look how I expect or how I want or how I anticipated. We see that in the text that God is present in the darkness accomplishing His plan of redemption. God was about to send His Son, Jesus, into the world to save us all from our sin so we could be united with God through Christ. God wanted to include Mary in what he was doing, and so he sent the angel Gabriel to clue Mary in to her part in God's plan. Next, we see that God's presence and activity can be so unusual, surprising, unexpected, and challenging that I might interpret it as a threat. Now, it's natural to think that Mary wasn't excited about her role in God's plan because of the personal cost to her to be the mother of the Messiah the way that God had in mind. Mary responded with fear and confusion. Who am I that an angel, a messenger of God, would appear to me and speak in this way? How can what he's saying be true when I've never been with a man? And how, I don't understand how all this could happen. And the answer appears to be, hey, God has chosen you. And nothing is impossible with God. God's going to make it happen. And here's a sign. You know, your cousin Elizabeth in her old age that everybody said was cursed because she was barren? She's 6 months pregnant. Go see her and see for yourself that nothing is impossible with God. God's activity in our lives can cause me to say, hey, that's impossible. It doesn't make sense. God would never do things like that. But God does. And he leads in this way because he wants me to know him, not what I can accomplish on my own. He wants the world to know him. He wants all people to see him at work and not to see what I can do apart from him. So this is the moment of truth in which I can respond to God's presence with faith, or I can react to the appearance of things with fear. This is my moment of truth. I can be a Romo or I can be a bird. This is the moment to decide. How often do I respond to God by saying the situation is hopeless and God has turned his back on me or God's abandoned me? And then I wonder why I do not experience God's presence and activity the way that other Christians seem to. Now the virus, the quarantine, the medical danger, the economic danger, God knew about these things all along. None of this has caught God unawares. The question I should be asking is, what is God doing in the midst of all of this to reveal his presence to me and to everybody in the world? How is God revealing his power, his greatness, his glory? How is God bringing people to his Son, Jesus Christ? Let's be honest. God has not invited me to understand his plan, but to join his plan. It's a big difference. I insist to know the details and what's involved and how it's all going to work out. It needs to make sense in my mind. But that's not what God has promised me. Or it's not what he's invited me to be a part of. Instead, he's asking me to trust him. And the question I need to ask is, am I ready to believe the unbelievable and trust in God at this time? Now here's the second thing I want to say to you this morning. Believing the unbelievable leads to living the impossible. Believing the unbelievable leads to living the impossible. Believing is not enough. See, even the demons believe. That's not enough. It's to be followed by risking everything on what I believe. Belief is to be followed by obedience, by action, by an exercise of my will to change my life, to do something in response to how God has revealed himself to me. In verse 38, at the end of the story, how did Mary respond to God? She said, yes. Yeah, let it be to me. As you've said, I'm just the Lord's servant. Even though it was impossible, even though it was going to have disastrous, perhaps even humiliating social consequences for Mary, she said, yes. And how is it that Mary, this young woman, is able to say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. What allows her to say that? Maybe she understood what too many of us have yet to wrap our minds around. And it's this. As the Lord's servants, We exist solely for the pleasure of God, and He can do with us as He wants. Now, we say that we belong to the Lord. Now's the time for us to mean it and to live like it. If we truly belong to the Lord, then He can do with us as He wants, not what we want, but as He wants. And this is not a scary thing. We don't get fear as Mary's story unfolds. In fact, Mary responds with great joy. Look down in verse 46. Gosh, let me put my old man glasses back on so I can read the scripture. Verse 46, in Mary's song, it says that Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Mary bursts forth in joyful song because of God's great love and mercy upon her and upon all people who do not deserve it, but know they need it. Mary believed in God's word and promises so much that she was able to risk everything by saying yes to God's invitation to her. She believed that God could do even the impossible in her life and would be able to keep all His promises to her. I wonder if the reason why some of us may not be experiencing God's presence at this time is because we do not believe God enough to say yes to His invitation to be a part of His activity. We don't believe God enough to say yes to Him when He speaks to us. So compare your experience with God with Mary's experience with God. Can you thrill us with stories of God's recent mighty deeds in your life? Or have you been too afraid to act on what the Word of God is saying to you? Have you been too afraid to act on God's call upon your own life? I have too much to lose, we may think. And that's me on the ski slopes trying to decide how to get down the mountain. And I choose the easiest path because I felt like I had too much to lose. And I wonder if I use that same excuse with God. Lord, the answer is no, because I have too much to lose right now. And the reason we don't sing songs of joyful testimony like Mary is because we haven't experienced God the way that Mary has. We haven't trusted God the way that Mary trusted God. And maybe that's because we don't risk or sacrifice everything for God's pleasure the way that Mary did, because we are afraid. And the truth is, we're not the Lord's servants. Our lives are our own. We want to do with them what we want. We are not the Lord's servants, allowing the Lord to do with us as He wants. There's this shift that must take place in the issue of ownership in our own lives. I don't own myself and my own destiny. I am bought with a price by the very blood of Christ, and I belong to Him. Therefore, He is free to do with me as He wills. Our testimonies too often, frankly, are boring. Boring. Many of us profess faith in God's unconditional love, but we still live in fear. We play it safe. If I say yes to God, I'm afraid it will cost me my job. I might get sick. An accident might happen. I might be rejected by my family. My friends might make fun of me. I don't know what I'll say if I'm confronted by someone who wants me to tell them about Jesus. I might make a fool of myself. I can't do this or I can't do that. We have so many excuses, and we play it safe instead of risking everything to be obedient to God's word and invitation. Years ago, when I was in college, before Kim and I got together, when I realized I was in love with her for the first time, she was in a relationship with someone else. And I knew in that moment that I had to make a decision. Either I could pursue her and run the risk of all of that involved, or I could play it safe and be miserable for the rest of my life. And I realized that I could not live without her. And so I risked everything to pursue her. And, well, that turned out pretty well, all things considered. And look, there's a moment of truth when we have to make a choice to say yes to the Lord or to say no to the Lord. May it be to your servant as you have said, Lord. Or, sorry, Lord, I have too much to lose. The answer is no right now. Folks, your moment of truth has arrived. What kind of life is God calling you to live? And see, there's going to be an end to all of this quarantine and all of that. What's your life going to be like then? When this time of hibernation or cocooning is over and you emerge to new life, what will be new and more Christ-like about your life? How will your relationships be different? How will your walk with Christ be different as a result of all of this? How will your family be different? How will your involvement with your church be different? How will your involvement in the community be more Christ-like as a result of what we're going through right now? This morning as I close, I want to invite you to believe the unbelievable and trust God. No matter your circumstances right now, I invite you this morning to trust God and in His Word to you. He's not let you down yet. He's not going to today. And He holds all of eternity in His hands. You can trust Him. Secondly, I invite you to say yes to God's invitation to you. Whatever He is saying, whatever the call, however He is leading you, say yes to God with great faith and obedience. And watch what He does next in response to your affirmation to Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that in our limited nature, we see the world around us, and it is possible that what we feel is fear and anxiety. And we want to play it safe, Lord. We want to say no to You. We want to be in control of our own lives and our own destiny. We want to have a good plan to see how everything's going to unfold. Lord, how You lead us is often too frightening. It's too nebulous. But it's the only way forward. And so, Lord, this morning, help me resolve the issue of ownership in my life. And I want to have a testimony like Mary's, where I say, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm not my own. And what the Lord has said can be accomplished in my life. Lord, I pray for all of those who may be watching, wherever they are, that You would speak to them, increase their faith, let them know exactly how they can respond to You with obedience today, and then draw them to Yourself so that their answer will be yes. I am the Lord's servant. Be as You have said. Lord, we don't have any reason to fear. Up from the ashes we will arise. Our King is alive.
Amen.
That will be our testimony as well. And now may Your will be done. We love You. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.